Welcome to Zichud HaSim Mani Memory Ram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Sachim Daf Tzadi, the 8th Perek Ha'isha. This is going to be an abbreviated shir. So the three tafs are going to focus on number 1. It was taught in the Braisa that the Pasuk states, V'im yimat habayis miyos miyaseh, if the household is too small for a lamb, then others should also be registered for it. This is interpreted to mean that if one cannot afford the items needed for the lamb, he may sell portions of it, hechiyo miyaseh, and thereby sustain the lamb from the proceeds of the lamb. He may only sell for things, though, required for eating the lamb, but not for other purchases. Rashi explains that it can be sold to purchase firewood, but not for business purposes. Rebbe says, af michtei mekach, he may sell it even to have money required for other purchases. That is, if one does not have enough money for his personal needs, he may register another person with him for his Pesach and Chagiga offerings, and the monies that come into his possession are chulin. Because it's on these terms that Jews are makdish their Pesach offerings in the first place. This means that one who designates an animal as a Pesach retains it as property so that he can sell it for whatever purposes he likes. Point number 2, there's a machlokas Rabba and Rebbe Zer regarding this dispute between the Tanakama and Rebbe. One holds that everybody agrees that one can sell portions of the Pesach for the purposes of buying wood, came to Tekant the Pesachu, since it's for the preparation of the Pesach. They disagree regarding purchasing matzah and maror. The Rabbanim prohibit it because they hold achila acherisihi. It's a different act of eating, whereas Rebbe permits a kevin de kshiro de pesachu kagufit the pesach tami. Since it renders the pesach fit for eating, it's viewed like the pesach itself. The other one holds that everybody agrees that one may sell portions for matzah and maror, since these foods render the pesach fit for eating, as it says in the pesach al matzuz umorim yochalu. With matzahs and maror, they shall eat the pesach. Therefore, they're viewed like the pesach itself. They disagree with regard to someone who needs money with which to buy a shirt or cloak. The Rabban hold miyos meseh amrachmana hechiyehu meseh. The Torah states from being for a lamb, which is interpreted to mean that one must sustain the lamb, limiting use of the proceeds for the sake of the lamb. Rebbe interprets the pasuk to mean hechiyeh meseh, sustain yourself from the lamb, permitting one to use it for his personal needs. And point number 3, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, shochnim v'zorkin al tvul yom mechusar kippurim, we shecht the pesach and throw its blood for a tvul yom, and for one who lacks kippur, ve'ein shochnim v'zorkin al tmei sheretz, but we don't do it for someone who's tummy from a sheretz. Ula said, shochnim v'zorkin al tmei sheretz, we do shecht the pesach and throw its blood for someone tummy from a sheretz. The Gemara asks, according to Rav, what's the difference between a tvul yom who will be fit to partake of the pesach by nightfall, and the one who is tummy from a sheretz who will also be fit by nightfall? After a lengthy analysis, the Gemara concludes that according to Rav, one who is tummy from a sheretz is unfit to bring a pesach with the rice, as is written in the pasuk regarding a pesach sheni, ish ish ki yeh tummy la nefesh, any man who will be tummy from a corpse. Now, is a pasuk not dealing with one whose seventh day of being a tummy mace falls on Erev Pesach, whose tumah is equivalent to tumah from a sheretz in that it can be removed by nightfall, and yet the pasuk says that the person is pushed off until Pesach Sheni. So this implies that the same din applies to one who is tummy from a sheretz who can become tahor by night. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. It was taught in the Braisa that the pasuk states, V'im yimat habayis miyos miyaseh, if the household is too small for a lamb, then others should also be registered for it. This is interpreted to mean that if one cannot afford the items needed for the lamb, he may sell portions of it, hechiyo miyaseh, and thereby sustain the lamb from the proceeds of the lamb. Michtei achila vo michtei mekach. He may only sell for things, though, required for eating the lamb, but not for other purchases. Rashi explains that it can be sold to purchase firewood, but not for business purposes. Rebbe says, af michtei mekach. He may sell it even to have money required for other purchases. That is, if one does not have enough money for his personal needs, he may register another person with him for his Pesach and Chagiga offerings, and the monies that come into his possession are chulin. Because it's on these terms that Jews are makdish their Pesach offerings in the first place. This means that one who designates an animal as a Pesach retains it as property so that he can sell it for whatever purposes he likes. Point number 2, there's a machlokas Rabba and Rebbe Zer regarding this dispute between the Tanakama and Rebbe. One holds that everybody agrees that one can sell portions of the Pesach for the purposes of buying wood, came to Tekant the Pesachu, since it's for the preparation of the Pesach. They disagree regarding purchasing matzah and maror. The Rabbanim prohibit it because they hold achila acherisihi. It's a different act of eating, whereas Rebbe permits a kevin de kshiro de pesachu kagufit the pesach tami. Since it renders the pesach fit for eating, it's viewed like the pesach itself. The other one holds that everybody agrees that one may sell portions for matzah and maror, since these foods render the pesach fit for eating, as it says in the pasuk al matzuz umorim yochalu. With matzahs and maror, they shall eat the pesach. Therefore, they're viewed like the pesach itself. They disagree with regard to someone who needs money with which to buy a shirt or cloak. The Rabban hold miyos meseh amrachmana hechiyehu meseh. The Torah states from being for a lamb, which is interpreted to mean that one must sustain the lamb, limiting use of the proceeds for the sake of the lamb. Rebbe interprets the pasuk to mean hechiyeh meseh, sustain yourself from the land, permitting one to use it for his personal needs. And point number three, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, Shochtim v'zorkin al tful yom mechusar kippurim, we shecht the Pesach and throw its blood for a tful yom, and for one who lacks kippur, ve'ein shochtim v'zorkin al tmei sheretz, but we don't do it for someone who's tummy from a sheretz. Ula said, Shochtim v'zorkin al tmei sheretz, we do shecht the Pesach and throw its blood for someone tummy from a sheretz. The Gemara asks, according to Rav, what's the difference between a tful yom who will be fit to partake of the Pesach by nightfall, and the one who's tummy from a sheretz who will also be fit by nightfall? After a lengthy analysis, the Gemara concludes that according to Rav, one who's tummy from a sheretz is unfit to bring a Pesach midoraisa, as it's written in the Pasuk regarding a Pesach sheni, ish ish ki yeh tummy lenefesh, any man who will be tummy from a corpse. Now, is the Pasuk not dealing with one whose seventh day of being a tummy mace falls on Erev Pesach, whose tumah is equivalent to tumah from a sheretz in that it can be removed by nightfall, and yet the Pasuk says that the person's pushed off until Pesach sheni? So this implies that the same thing applies to one who's tummy from a sheretz who can become tahor by night. All right, so now we go to our Simver Daf Tzadi, and this one comes to us by way of David Levine from Thornhill, Ontario, which is right next to Toronto, and Nathaniel Yankello from Clifton, New Jersey. They both suggest that Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset that he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box for his matzah and maror, when all of a sudden someone tummy from a sheretz said he could have his, since his Pesach was pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Once again, in slow motion. The pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box. Tzedakah box? That must mean one duff. Tzadi. The pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, the Pasuk states, V'im yimat habayis miyos meseh, if the household is too small for a lamb, then others should also be registered for it. This is interpreted to mean that if one cannot afford the items needed for the lamb, he may sell portions of it and thereby sustain the lamb from the proceeds of the lamb. The Tanakhama says he may only sell for things required for eating the lamb, but not for other purchases. Rashi explains it can be sold to purchase firewood. Rebbe says he may sell it even to have money required for other purchases. That is, that if one does not have enough money for his personal needs, he may register another person with him, and the monies that come into his possession are chum, because it's on these terms that Jews are makdish their Pesach offerings in the first place. This means that one who designates an animal as a Pesach retains it as property so that he can sell it for whatever purposes he likes. So the pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box for his matzah and maror, which reminds us there's a Malchokas Rabbi and Rebbe Zer regarding the dispute between the Tanakhama and Rebbe. One holds that everybody agrees that one can sell portions of the Pesach for the purposes of buying wood, since it's for the preparations of the Pesach. They disagree regarding purchasing matzah and maror. The Rabbanim prohibit it because they hold it's a different act of eating, whereas Rebbe permits it since it renders a Pesach fit for eating, it's viewed like the Pesach itself. The other one holds that everybody agrees that one may sell portions for matzah and maror, since these foods render the Pesach fit for eating, they're viewed like the Pesach itself. They disagree with regard to someone who needs money with which to buy a shirt or a cloak. So the pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset that he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box for his matzah and maror, when all of a sudden someone, tummy from a sheret, said he could have his, since his Pesach was pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Which reminds Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, we shecht the Pesach and throw its blood for a tful yom and a mechusar kippurim, but we don't do someone who's a tummy from a sheretz. Ula said, we do shecht the Pesach and throw its blood for someone tummy from a sheretz. The Gemara goes through a lengthy analysis to explain, according to Rav, what the difference is between a tful yom, who will be fit to partake of the Pesach by nightfall, and the one who's tummy from a sheretz, who will also be fit by nightfall. So once again, the pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box for his matzah and maror, when all of a sudden someone tummy from a sheretz said he could have his, since his Pesach was pushed off to Pesach Sheni. All right, now it's time for a four-bought back Chazorah. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simmer Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The police. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs, which reminds on the bottom of Pei Hei Amud Beis, Rav said, Gagim Valios Lonis Kachu. The rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Azor were not consecrated. The implication is that Kachim calling such as the Pesach cannot be eaten there. The Gemara questions this ruling. As Rav himself said in the name of Vichia, Kazesa Pesach V'Halela Paka Ikra, a kazais for each registrant and the sound of the challah would crack the roof. Rashi explains that the singing was so loud that it would seem as though the roofs of Yerushalayim were cracking. This implies they used to recite challah on the rooftops and suggests they ate the Pesach on the rooftops as well. The Gemara answers they ate the Pesach on the ground and then recited challah on the roofs and further clarifies that challah was recited after the meal concluded, where she explains that there was no longer concern that people would carry some meat with them. So the police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs. While they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach, Which reminds the next Mishnah states, Shtei Chabur Shei Ochim B'Bayis Echav. If two groups are eating a single Pesach in one house, which Rashi explains to mean they all registered for the offering, but when the time came to eat it, they chose to eat it in separate groups, then each group may turn their faces in different directions and eat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Pesach may be eaten in two groups, but each person may only eat it in one place. Rabbi Shimon holds each person can eat in different places, but when they initially sit down, they must do so as one group. The Machlokas is based on whether one holds Yesh Eim Mesoras. Primacy is given to the way the words are written in the Pasuk, or Yesh Eim LaMikra. Primacy is given to the way the words are pronounced. So the police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discover joyous guests singing Hallel on unconsecrated roofs, while they notice down below two groups eating a single Pesach and frowning at one of their guests lying on a couch and drinking his wine in two gulps. Which reminds the Gemara relates when Rav Huna Brei Menasim visited the home of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the hosts were shocked by his behavior when they offered him to sit on a couch. He seated himself. Rashi explains that they expected he would graciously decline and sit on the floor or chair as per the regular custom. They gave him a cup to drink, and he accepted it with the first offering. He drank it in two gulps, and he didn't avert his face while drinking. When they asked him about his behavior, he explained regarding sitting on the couch, whatever the host tells you to do, do. He accepted the cup on first offer because Masarvin Lakatan Vein Masarvin Lagadol, one may refuse a lesser man, but we may not refuse a great man who drank in two drafts, because it states in a brisa that drinking in one draft is guzzling, drinking in two drafts is proper conduct, and drinking in three is haughty. And he didn't avert his face because the Mishnah states that a kala averts her face, which implies that it's not appropriate for a man to do so. Dab Pei Zayin. So the Simmer Dab Pei Zayin is gold, and we use a gold digger. So here goes. The gold digger, that must be one Daf Pei Zayin. The gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, which reminds us there was a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa regarding where a woman goes to eat the Pesach on her first Yantif after the wedding and subsequently, and the Gemara clarifies that when the Mishnah said if a woman went to spend the first Yantif in her father's house, and her father shechted a Pesach for her, and her husband also shechted a Pesach for her, Tolcha b'makom she rotza, she eats where she wants, that was a case where the woman was not a Radufa, not eager to go back to her father's house. The Braisa that stated a woman on the first Yantif after a wedding eats of her father's Pesach is referring to a woman who is a Radufa, eager to go back to her father's home. So the gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her. Which reminds us that as part of the exchange that Kosh Baruch had with Hoshea when Klal Yisrael was sinning, and Hoshea said to Kosh Baruch that he should exchange us with a different nation, that Kosh Baruch had Hoshea marry Azona, have children with her, and then told him to divorce her. When Hoshea said that was very difficult to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all the more so where Yisrael are one of his four kinyanim, which include Torah, Shemaim V'Aretz, and the base of Migdash. So the gold digger whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her, which would be worse than Galus and Bavel. Which reminds us that the Rebbe Lezer said the reason for Galus is to gather Gerim. Rabbi Yoshia said HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it stuck and that he spread us out in Galus so that we couldn't be wiped out as one, and then discussed the different reasons we went down to Bavel, and that the language is similar to that of the Torah, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them back to their mother's house, referring to Ur Kasdim, where Avram Avinu's Amunah was realized, and also that they would be able to eat dates, which were abundant in Bavel, and will subsequently be able to occupy themselves in Limud Torah. Daf Peches, so the sim for Daf Peches is a pach, a garbage can. So here goes. The parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans, that must be more on Daf Peches, pach. The parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, what's the meaning of the pas of Halchu Amim Rabim? Many peoples will go and say, come and let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, to the house of the God of Yaakov. Why does it specify the God of Yaakov and not of Avram Yitzchak? Rather, the Pasuk teaches that the base of Mikdash is not like the description found by Avram, of whom it's written, Ahar, a mountain. It's not like the description found by Yitzchak, where it was written, Asada, a field. Rather, it's like the description found in the context of Yaakov, called it a house, as it stated, V'yikra Hashem ha-makom ahu beis-kel. He named that place the house of God. So the parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped to watch a father shech the Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves. Which reminds us, it was taught in Bryce that the Pesach states, sell a bais, a lamb for a household. This teaches that a person can bring a Pesach and shech it for his minor son or daughter and for his Evah Kanani and Shivcha Kananis, Ben Madait and Ben Shul Madait, whether with their consent or without their consent. However, one cannot shech the Pesach for his adult son or daughter or for his Evah Ivri or Ami Ivri or for his wife except with their consent. Although adult children and Hebrew slaves are currently being supported by the master of the household, they can choose instead to support themselves. Hence, they're not defined as household members in this context. And Rashi explains that a wife has the right to refuse support from her husband and support herself by keeping her handiwork for her own livelihood. So the parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped to watch a father shech the Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves, while another Evan leading a lamb and a kid and who had a worried look on his face passed by. Which reminds the next Mishnah states that if a master told his Eved to shecht a certain animal as a Pesach for him, and he ever forgot if it was a lamb or a kid, and shachach rabu ma'amrula, and if his master also forgot what he had told him, and both animals had been shechted, both animals go to the beis hasreif at the place of burning, and both the master and the eved are punished from having to make a pesach sheni. Rashi explains that since it's not known which pesach is the master's and which is the slave's, they can't be eaten because the pesach is only eaten by those who are registered on it. At the same time, since a specific offering belonged to each one of them, the Shkita and the Zrika were performed for his respective owner and is valid, exempting them from bringing a Pesach Sheni. Daf Pei Tes, the Simur Pei Tes, is a pot. We use a Chalom pot. So here goes. At the annual first brother to get to the Chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, Chalom pot, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Tes. At the annual first brother to get to the Chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, which reminds us, the Mishnah states, if one says to his sons, I'll shech the Pesach for the first one of you to go up to Yerushalayim, as soon as the first one put his head and the greater part of his body inside the city, Zacha Bechelku Mezaka es Echav Imo, he acquires his portion and gains portions for his brothers along with him. The Gemara infers from here that Yesh Brera, there's retroactive determination, and therefore, although the father did not know which son to register at the time of the Shechita, it's valid. Rabbi Yochanan rejected this inference and said, Kedei Lazarz and B'mitzvahs Ka'amar. The father said this to his sons only to be Mazarz them in the performance of mitzvahs, but in fact, he had registered all of them. So at the annual first brother to get to the Chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nimnim emoshkin es yedem mimenu ad shi yishached. People can be registered for the Pesach or withdraw from it until it's shechted. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, ad shi yizarek es adam, until the Kohen does zrik es adam. Abaye said the Malchokas only applies to withdrawing from it. For the Rabbanim maintained that the Pasuk Miyos said they withdraw from being for a lamb is interpreted as teaching that one can only withdraw Mechayuse de Se from the life of the lamb, meaning while it's still alive. Rabbi Shimon interprets the Pasuk Mehaviyase de Se from the circumstances of the lamb, meaning as long as the avod is still being performed with it. So at the annual first brother to get to the Chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb, because he knew the other brothers would tell him to leave and eat on his own because he had refined hands. Which reminds us, the Gemara inquires, B'nei Chabura Shehu Yadav Shel Echem En Yafos. If one of the members of a group has refined hands, which Rashi explains is a euphemism, and it means in this case that he's eating larger amounts of food faster than the other members of the group, can they tell him, take your due portion and leave? The Gemara concludes that they can and say to him, when we accepted you, we only did so to rectify the carbon, which Rashi explains to mean that they only invited him so that nothing would be left over and be disqualified as noser, but they judged that he would eat the same as the other people. All right, that concludes the shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.